It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for our live cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Great and finals, Russ.
Oh, my God. It's finals time already?
Sad but true.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, good luck on that. Good luck to all the students with your finals. I hope things go well. We're taking your live questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine on our phone line at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Or you can join our chat room. Just go to the main page at 420radio.org and click that live chat button. But we always start things off by giving Dr. Mitch the first word to tell us what's the latest in marijuana science.
A lot of wild media coverage this week. Cannabis is definitely not a lubricant, as we've seen here.
Well,
pot prohibition in college students, it may be worse than it is better, and more confirmation of cannabidiol is safe. Nice list of diseases medical marijuana can help, and some interesting work up in Canada on the efficacy of medical cannabis.
Well, you know, if I have to put these in order of importance, it might be a different first story, but in order of ratings, what's this about cannabis and the vagina?
Sad but true, cannabis is not a lubricant, and we've had these data since Shenang in 2737 BC.
We're not talking about applying cannabis, are we?
No, just the sort of inadvertent impact of cannabis smoking dries out all mucous membranes. That may be part of why folks get red eyes, but also it could dry out things to sort of counteract cannabis's notorious aphrodisiac qualities, shall we say. And it's cute to see this big set of quotations from Julia Holland. And if you get a chance to get any of her books, they're super fun. But she's got a new one out called Moody Bitches that I really recommend for anybody. It's incredibly informative about medications more generally and how women are treated in the medical system.
Yeah, I had a chance to interview Dr. Holland when her book Weekends at Bellevue came out. The title caught my attention, of course. And then she wrote, she was an editor for The Pot Book, which is this huge tome of a collection. Are you in that one as well?
I am. I've got a nice chapter on the first work on the vaporizer in there, and just a general review of respiratory symptoms and cannabis. And it sent the message that, you know, we already know that the respiratory irritation definitely decreases if you can switch to the vaporizer. Mm.
And as far as this story on the vagina, is this correlated with like the dry mouth you get? Because I know some strains don't give me as much dry mouth as others. Would that correlate to other locations?
As you can imagine, the data haven't been gathered formally, but that's certainly consistent with the clinical reports, shall we say. But this is often usually just, you know, a lubricant away. This isn't something that's a serious long-term effect, generally short-term and generally easy to intervene.
All right. Well, I'm sure we need to collect this data on this very important topic. So if there's any volunteers out there listening, send send in your CV and we'll see if we can get you in the trial. All right, let's go to another story. And this one was interesting to me. It came out last month, but a study on how pot prohibition hurts college students more than it helps them. I guess the theory being if we prohibit pot, college kids won't ever use it.
Well, it's interesting because the story itself tried to allude to some of these data that have been gathered where folks in the Netherlands who are actually residents there, they're allowed access, but folks who are immigrants there are not allowed access. And they were trying to make a big case about, gee, the folks who got cut off basically after this law got passed had higher final exams. The effect itself was kind of small and sort of silly, and certainly nothing compared to what we could probably get if we had a smart roommate in your room or if you just banned alcohol for a while. But the meta message that I really like that they brought up at the end is that essentially we've got almost 250,000 low-income and primarily minority students students who are either failing to enroll or dropping out of college because they can't get financial aid related to some kind of drug conviction. And that is the kind of hurt we just can't deal with. So clearly, if you're concerned about cannabis and studying, why don't we be concerned about prohibition and actually getting people in the situation where they're allowed to study in the first place?
Mm. Yeah, well put. Glad to see that making the public's consciousness to understand that getting busted for pot's going to hurt your career worse than anything the pot could do. Naturally, we've got some follow-up questions to our first story coming up in the chat room. The first question is, can you infuse cannabis into KY jelly? Or more broadly speaking, into some sort of sexual lubricant, and maybe a follow-up on that on the Foria product that we've heard about.
So the Foria does seem to be mentioned in this article, and if you think about it, it's really a coconut oil base, and that's going to be a great lubricant and has the potential to absorb THC and transmit it transdermally. So it does seem like this may actually be something that could not only help with the impact of smoked cannabis, but also increase THC concentrations later on. I don't want this to turn into something where somebody gets higher than, I'm going to say she this time, means to, but that's definitely there. The potential is definitely there.
Oh boy, that's interesting. All right. Another topic that was of interest to me, you know, I'm in a medical marijuana state here in the state of Oregon, and it's always confounded us that here we are up to now 71,000 cases of people using marijuana to treat whatever condition, but our law doesn't, and it seems like our medical boards aren't interested in asking these people if it actually is working or doing anything. We get this report from the Montreal Gazette up in Canada where the Canadian doctors now are going to start asking the patients on the effectiveness of cannabis. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's kind of complicated for something that should be so self-evident. I mean, how hard is it to, you know, give people a list of their symptoms after they've started some kind of therapy and say, hey, are things getting any better? And I think a lot of physicians do this informally anyway, but we don't have the real clinical trials and we need to make this happen. Mark Ware, who's well known for his work in the pain literature, is mentioned in this and is part of this big consortium in Montreal where they're just going to do that. It seems so self-evident, we really need to make it happen. Now, it's obviously not going to be your standard placebo-controlled trial, but in part because these folks don't need placebo. They've already tried a lot of other medications and are turning into these. But if we could at least see some pre-post data that are consistent with the idea that, what a surprise, cannabis actually does enhance appetite, improve weight gain, and things like that, that's going to help us get more universal adoption across a whole bunch of different disorders. And I feel like that's what's plaguing us here in the U.S. is that we've got essentially, you know, one state has this disorder, another state has that one, and we don't necessarily get the same kind of pharmaceutical recommendations in different areas. And we really do need a nice federal list where we can say, look, we've got cannabis related to the following problems. And I would prefer a symptoms approach, to tell you the truth. So rather than saying you've got this disease, just saying, hey, do you have insomnia, the symptom? Do you have pain, the symptom? Do you have problems with appetite, the symptom? Regardless of how it's generated, and I think we could get a lot further.
Hmm. And, you know, one of the things I would hope that would reveal is, or at least, you know, attack the propensity of people who begrudgingly admit marijuana is medicinal, but only as a last resort. Well, you tried all the other epilepsy drugs. Why not try some CBD oil? Are we making progress in that in just the medical community?
Unfortunately, only in a few areas. So I feel like there's still some domains where the physicians either don't have the training or are still dragging their feet. So I'm pleased that the anti-nausea stuff, particularly with cancer chemotherapy, is starting to spread among those physicians. But then I'm disappointed that the pain physicians, even the migraine experts, where we do have some pretty compelling data now, they want to move to Imitrex, they want to move to these other drugs first, more out of familiarity than anything else. And we haven't had the opportunity to really go head-to-head in a clinical trial where we compare one to the other. And that's just a real shame, because those medications lower blood pressure really immensely and end up making people pass out or making them completely incapacitated. Where with migraine, if you, you know, first notice a couple of flashes, you run to your vaporizer and you can actually have a productive day. Whereas with Imitrex, that may not be a possibility.
Yeah, I can testify to that with my wife having gone through migraine and me having to introduce her to medical cannabis as it turned out to be her last resort. It was that or Demerol. So I sure hope they get that information out to the people. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He's the chair of the Normal Board of Directors and one of America's leading marijuana researchers. You can find his books on Amazon.com and other fine book outlets. And Dr. Mitch, there's a study out, the epilepsy.org. This is out in the UK. They report on the study that confirms the safety of cannabidiol, and something that we've already pretty much decided had been pretty safe, but it's nice to see these mainstream organizations reporting it.
It's funny because I just felt like cannabidiol is practically water. I mean, it really does not have a lethal dose at all. And the animal literature, you know, they're pounding it into these poor rodents, and of course they're not even slowing down much. But we got to have this documented, and so the U.S. FDA finally has something to look at when they start to have these concerns. I do hope this doesn't undermine our efforts to make sure THC is also available, though. So if you know, CBD gets all this wonderful treatment and suddenly we're stuck with CBD oil when there are really a lot of patients who need either the combination or THC.
And this is again from epilepsy.org.uk, the safety of the cannabis drug CBD. And this is coming about due to the Epidiolex trials. Is that right? GW Pharmaceuticals still working on that?
Yeah, and it's interesting because they've really gone through a lot of effort to grow strains that are high in CBD before it was even trendy or hip. And so I'm glad we're getting the benefit. They do that spray, the Sativex, and I'm of two minds about it. It tends to not have as rapid an onset as vaporized cannabis, so I can understand folks being reluctant to turn to that when they could actually have a nice vaporized indica that's high in CBD.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday for this cannabis Q&A segment, but if you want to get your question asked and answered privately, there's an email address for that. Just email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com, and Dr. Mitch can answer that for you. May even become inspiration for a study or a column someday. You never know. And Dr. Mitch, we've got the normal legislative fly-in happening on the 20th and 21st, the normal Aspen Legal Conference starting the 28th through the 31st. I'll be at both those events reporting. Will I get a chance to see you?
I'm delighted to see you in D.C., Russ. We got a lot to catch up on.
All right. We'll see you in Washington, D.C. We'll get a live interview with Dr. Mitch while we're there. Thank you, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got time for a radical rant where we're looking at hope for marijuana reform in the great Midwest. We're going to start in Texas and work our way north and show you how there's hope everywhere in this great United States for the return of our marijuana heritage and cannabis liberty. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.